Are you ready?
Steady. Welcome to Start Line.
Every journey is different, but they all start with the start line.
We're here to edutain you about the world of dog agility. The sport has changed rapidly in just the few years we have been a part of it.
Join us as we discuss our journeys, share our successes, laughs, and failures.
We will be joined by special guests, and our hope is for you to help us grow the sport we love. Episode 30, go!
Hey guys, it's Michelle.
And Kara.
And on this episode, we are fresh out of a 5-day travel spree to chase points.
It goes a little bit longer than that because we did Maine the weekend before.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And we did Westminster the week before that.
We're technically
traveling. So we're fresh out of a whole month.
We've been traveling since June 11th. Our homes have become minor stopping grounds.
It's kind of crazy.
Very crazy.
When you can travel on the weekends and how much it can disrupt your everyday life.
So disruptive and exhausted. I don't know about you, but first two trips when I got home from Westminster, I super unpacked like within an hour. And then I kept the bags upstairs. I usually keep my bags in the basement. I kept my bags upstairs because I knew I was going away again to Maine. I came home. I was still pretty speedy about unpacking, right? But maybe I took a day.
Yep.
This last trip was 5-day. I think I just finished unpacking yesterday.
I unpacked the day after with this last trip, but I slept for about a day and a half straight.
The agility hangover was real.
Yeah, it was real.
Yeah. So we wanted to share with you some tips, some things we've learned, some things that we've streamlined that have just made our lives super easy for traveling, because we encourage everyone to travel for agility sometimes. See a new arena, see a new facility, meet new people. I went out to Ohio because my family moved out there, and I met some of the most wonderful people. And then you get to see them again at Invitationals. Woohoo! But anyways, yeah, I really encourage people to travel. Get outside your comfort zone. It'll let you know what your dogs are up to. Phoenix loved Maine. She loved Premier Sports, and she loved Bella Vista.
She loved all of the traveling.
She loved all of the traveling. Walter, you know, I didn't bring him to Maine because I know he's crazy on dirt. But he was, where was he stressy? Was it at Premier?
It was at Premier.
He was stressy until, oh, we have the whole tick balls incident to talk about.
Oh, yes.
But before we get there, let's talk.
Well, I went to Bella Vista for the first time.
Oh, right. And yeah, Premier. We both went to Premier Sports for the first time. Lovely times. We had great time. It was good to see how people run things differently, worker coordinators and all that fun stuff. So I think let's start off. So first off, there's some planning that goes into traveling. You can't just like up and decide you're going to buck everything into your car and go, right? We have to enter the trials. So we have to find the trials. We're going on the AKC event search, and we're picking states that we want to or are willing to travel to. And then we're going to those events, and we're finding the trial secretary, and we're filling out all that information, right? That's kind of step number one. Then we scour the premiums and we look for hotels, right? I generally go by the premium, but then I also will ask friends. I've had both backfire.
Yeah.
My first trip to Bella Vista, I asked a friend and the Motel 6 was listed. It is extremely close. It's very close to Yellow Breeches. They share a parking lot. And I convinced another friend to stay there based off of what I heard. It was a dirty hole. Do not stay there. I'm sorry. I never try and like not recommend a business. They must have changed ownership because the same thing happened to us in the Econo Lodge in Maine. It must have changed ownership. It has gone downhill. It was gross. I immediately found a La Quinta or La Quinta where verdict is out. Each one seems to say it differently.
It depends on where you're at.
I'm going to call it La Quinta because it sounds better. And that's how the Spanish.
That's all I've ever heard it called, except for when we went to Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So I stayed there and it was lovely. I have also stayed in some bad La Quintas, but we will dive down that rabbit hole in a second. But first off, find your hotels. And what our friend Melissa does, which is smart, is she'll go ahead and read the reviews of the hotels. I did not for that Motel 6. And I regret, because I've stayed at some Motel 6s that were okay. So, pick your hotel wisely. Do your homework.
Yep. And I think it's worth noting too, because we kind of did this where we looked at hotels in New Jersey when we were on our first leg of the 5-day stretch. We were looking at hotels in New Jersey, and New Jersey was a little bit more expensive.
A little bit. It was a lot. It was
well,
incredible.
All right, let's see. So the 3-night stay in Pennsylvania, I think, was either comparable or just slightly cheaper than the 2-night stay would have been in New Jersey.
My 3-night stay in Bella Vista was like $312, I think $320 total, something like that. Our total for a 2-night stay in New Jersey was $399.
Yeah. So what we ended up doing was we bunked together in New Jersey, and then we split up in Pennsylvania to help save costs. So if you have a travel buddy, look at the prices. And I recommend, if you feel like you can, you know, obviously sharing a room with somebody is not something that you can, not everybody can just jump right into. But if you feel like you can share a room with somebody, or you want to try sharing a room with somebody, I suggest doing that just to kind of save on some costs.
I would say Michelle was one of the most considerate and great bunkmates I've had.
Okay.
I've had disasters. I've had good ones. Sarah and I bunk well together. Our shower schedules worked out. Our dogs got along. My dogs dominated the room because I had 3 of them. Michelle had 1. But I assisted. She was going to have 2. She was going to take her puppy. And I was like, what if my husband, because she didn't want to leave her puppy because her husband works long hours. And I was like, what if my husband helped you guys out and stopped and let your dogs out? Because he has no dogs to care for because I had them all.
Yep.
And so,
and it worked out great for me because, honestly, the thought of 5 days in a hotel with a 5-month-old border collie puppy was giving me a little bit of anxiety.
I have anxiety still from 5 days with 3 boxers in a hotel room. Now, to their credit, I have the bruises to prove it. To their credit, they were wonderful. But my dogs, like many athletes, are they have a maintenance level for energy. And that 30, 40 seconds in the ring ain't enough. I mean, what'd they run? A total of like 1:20 each day?
Oh,
and
yeah.
I walked them around the grounds, but it was too hot to run them. Oh, we'll talk about the heat in a minute.
It was so hot.
It was so hot. It was too hot to run them. We couldn't take them early in the morning. It was just too hot. So my dogs built up this like ball of energy, and they vibrated. And Michelle got to witness them pulling me down an entire hallway. They're well-trained on leash to an extent. They ripped me down the hallway, and they curved around this corner with those metal door frames. And I don't, how my arm didn't break, I don't know. But my forearm muscle took the brunt of this force. And it is still very tender, and it's still discolored. And then every time I returned, I would leave them. My dogs are great. I don't recommend this for everybody. You have to know your dogs. This is a tip. The reason why I know I can leave my dogs in a hotel room unattended is I have set up Ustream. I'll set up a laptop. You have to turn off your sleep mode so it doesn't go to sleep mode after like 5 minutes of non-use. Turn on Ustream and you can watch Ustream from your phone. Also, if you have a Nest app, there's lots of apps to use the camera on your laptop or tablet to then watch them on your phone. So, but somebody said something important to me. I generally don't think too much about leaving my dogs in the hotel and driving somewhere close by. But a friend said to me, they said they'll leave their dogs in the hotel and they'll walk somewhere. But driving, even if it's 10 minutes down the road, you could get into a fatal car accident or a dangerous car accident. And who is going to go get your dogs? When are they going to find out? Like, what's the chain of events there? It's just something to think about.
Yep.
I'm not trying to deter anybody. Like I said, I do leave my dogs. They're responsible. They have not caused any damage. I leave the TV on loudly. I cover all the windows. I actually will turn on the bathroom light. I don't mean to waste resources, but I will turn on the bathroom fan. So again, it drowns out any hallway noises. They're generally not barkers. But yeah, just little tips that I do to help keep them comfortable in the hotel room. But I was much more comfortable. There was at the La Quinta in Bella Vista, Harrisburg. They have a divey little bar place next door that's decent, and I was very comfortable going there because I wasn't getting in a car accident. The only thing I could do is fall and skin my knee in the parking lot. Like, there was nothing to go wrong there. So
yep,
Just something
And
to
I
think
mean,
about.
worst case scenario, you can always utilize a crate in the hotel if you need to.
Yep, you can use a crate or you can bring them in the car, but it was so hot. It was so hot we would have had to left the car running. Right? It was just
Yeah, it was brutal. It
it
was
was
not only was
beastly.
it high 90s, but the humidity.
Ugh. It was terrible. It was like a sauna. It was terrible.
This is why we don't live in Florida.
So, that's kind of the hotel. Also, I check in. I immediately find where my room is, and I find the closest staircase. My dogs do fine in an elevator, but I don't like to always bring all three up and down the main hallway because I'd be, oh, puppy, puppy. And they want to pet your puppy. I'll use the stairway. And you'll find it's different for each hotel. Some hotels, your key card works the stairway as it should. Some, you have to have a rock, right? We did the
Yeah,
rock
when your key
method.
card doesn't work, just shove a rock in the door.
Shove a rock in the door. There were a bunch of dog people staying at the Bella Vista or staying at the La Quinta this weekend, and the door, it's been that way for the year I've been staying there. Doesn't your key card does not allow the door to open. And so we use a rock. Not necessarily safe for the hotel, not recommended, but when you need to get in and out of that staircase and the door locks behind you, you know, what are you
Put
gonna
up.
do? Put a rock out.
Yeah, always just kick the rock out of the way when you don't need it anymore.
Yeah, and somebody seemed to, did you notice that somebody seemed to be like the night patrol? The rock was always gone in the morning. So I at least felt secure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I forgot the first two hotel trips that you were good about is a sheet for the bed.
Yes. I like to be respectful of hotels because they allow, most of them allow our dogs. Some for no pet fee, some for not. You got to check on your own. But,
Yeah, definitely do your research on pet fees.
yes. But what I do like is I like to be respectful and leave because their comforters, they're either white or they're some dark color. And I have dogs that leave just dirt. Like, Phoenix was rolling in the pillows and like left nose marks, like where their black nose, because she gets a dry nose, peeled off. And I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I'm not worried about it. It looks like I went to bed with mascara on. Like, that's my dog's nose.
And I just have extra hairy dogs that just
Right.
shed
So it's
everywhere.
just easier to bring your own sheet. Then the dog can jump up. You're not worried about ruining anything. You're not worried about any pet damage. It's just easier. It's so much easier. So, other things that we have to discuss are more fireworks going off?
Probably.
Yeah. Michelle's dogs don't do well with 4th of July.
Kara witnessed this
Yeah.
yesterday.
She also lives near a bunch of lakes with boats. We saw some really cool things on the drive home, boats with lights.
Oh, I
And
bet.
yeah, they just have parties on the lakes near you. We have like four people in my town, and three of them 6 towns over were letting off fireworks. So it was like
No, we had some more of those really bad ones today.
I'm
Not as
sorry.
bad as yesterday, at least, but.
Yeah.
But
So
anyway.
anyway,
All right,
we did experience
hotels.
that in the hotel.
Oh, we did, yes.
That's where loud TVs and the fan, that'll help you out for sure. But all right, so we've booked our hotel. We've entered our trial. We've booked our hotel. Now we have to start thinking about depending on what you feed your dog. So I feed raw, and I've been told so many times, people give the excuse that they don't feed raw, and to each their own. Feed whatever you feel comfortable with. But people have told me the reason why they don't feel comfortable feeding raw. One of the excuses is they travel a lot and you can't travel with raw. That's malarkey. I travel all the time with raw. And in fact, I overthought it. This is the longest I've traveled with 3 dogs with raw. I would needed something like 22 pounds. And I was like, my little wheelie cooler setup thing that I have can't handle the 22 pounds. I'm going to convert 2 of my dogs to dehydrated raw, right?
Right, especially for 5 days with
For
just a refrigerator, no freezer.
right, no freezer. So I was like, so I put them on this dehydrated raw. And let me just tell you, and they've been on it prior, but we'd kind of mixed it. Their poops, it was like so many bags of poop bags that by the end, I ended up like, I did pack a little extra raw just in case, but then I decided that my dogs had gotten a little thicker anyways. So I trimmed down the one dog that has allergies that I brought all raw food for. And the ones that I had only planned to feed dinner to, or sorry, breakfast, because that was the quicker meal because it's dehydrated raw, takes them hours to eat and hours to rehydrate. Not hours, it was like 15 minutes, but that's way too long in the morning when you want to get to agility trial. So I just by like day three, I was feeding him all raw. I was like, I don't care anymore. I left that dehydrated raw food in the hotel room. I was like, I'm done with this. I put it in the trash. Yeah, it was a mess. So I will always recommend raw for my dogs to travel. Super easy. We put them in quart Ziploc bags. They're a pound each. We flatten them out. We call them flats. Then we put the flats inside gallon Ziploc bags because the flats sometimes when they freeze, they expand, they'll leak. No problem. They fit into this, for lack of a better word, it's a party cooler. It's meant to hold like a case of soda. It holds a case of beer. And they fit perfectly.
It's tall.
It's tall and it's on wheels. It's the best thing I ever got. So if you guys are interested, I can try and remember to put it in the show notes, but certainly just post a message and I'll post a link to it on Amazon. So
yeah, it's pretty genius for when we were feeding raw.
Yeah.
It definitely worked well for travel. Now, of course, I have six dogs and I have since swapped over, but.
Yes. So really, food prep, we had to, you know, I had to prep like a few days before. I couldn't just wait till last minute because I had to thaw and then refreeze. And then food prep. Sorry.
I think there's a frat party happening upstairs. I'm really sorry. I don't know if you can hear this.
I mean, we're a dog podcast, so I don't. I mean, your barking is pretty backgroundy.
Do you hear the thumping? Because it sounds like five elephants are running around upstairs right now.
It does sound a little thumpy. I thought that was you just playing with your microphone.
Nope, that is definitely them upstairs.
Mm. All right. So anyways, moving on. So clothes prep. This is important because you're going to want to check the weather. You're going to want to bring multiple shoes so you don't get blisters. And I always, people call me CVS. I have a bag that's literally like a CVS store. Yeah, I have blister blockers. I have powder if you get any chafing. I have contact lens solution, contact lens holders, KT tape, scissors, Neosporin. I mean everything.
Ibuprofen. She's got meds and something for every scenario.
I do. But everybody
you got wipes.
I've got Arnica I put on my arm right after they damaged it in that doorway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got wipies if it's just unsanitary and you're nowhere near water. I mean, I
right. I mean, are you going to have porta potties? Who knows? What if you go to the trial site and like the plumbing is down or something, mm-hmm. or the toilets don't flush well, and they have porta potties as a backup?
That's happened at Canine Country. She's a porta potty out back. So yeah, I have everything. I'm not saying you have to have everything, but if some of your friends have one thing and your other friends have others, you guys make a good team.
Yeah. And just prep for any weather, even though you can look up the day before you leave and it may say it's not going to rain, prep for rain. Especially always. If you're going to be trialing outdoors, or at least have some sort of shoe protection if it's going to rain.
Right.
If you have
even
boots,
if it doesn't
or you
rain.
Have those silicone shoe covers that Kara has found and has since made a fashion statement of.
Mm-hmm. Even if the dew points have been really high. So there's been lots of dew. Your feet can get really wet. So, yeah, I keep going back to food prep because I'm reading the sheet. I meant to say clothes prep is really important. I plan out my outfits. And then Michelle and I were funny. We both brought extra outfits because one day we showed up in the same exact color. It was like teal day. We did not plan that. And the next day we're wearing black.
Well, the next day we discussed it, though.
Right. I had a purple option and a black option, but I was like, I'm wearing the black option because the purple option was too clingy and it was way too hot. You know how your clothes fit. Know what shirts are cool. Like, this sounds silly, but I watched the weather and I knew the air conditioning at Bella Vista was good. And I did not know about Premier Sports. They had said there were some issues. They have since fixed it. It was pretty mediocre. I wouldn't say it was outstanding. It wasn't terrible. It was not terrible.
Right. I mean, at Bella Vista, we were wearing, like, you could wear a sweater inside.
It got a little cold. Not complaining. Not complaining.
Oh, God, no.
I loved it.
Premier, I mean, it was not unbearable, and it was certainly cooler than it was outside by far.
Mm-hmm. And I felt very comfortable crating my brachiocephalic dogs inside. Yeah. And I did not run their fans that much. I ran them after their runs, and that was it.
Yeah.
So I felt comfortable there. But Bella Vista was cold. So I had thicker pants for Bella Vista and thinner pants and clothes for Premier. So just, you know, I want to be comfortable. I get super hot and it's just gross. So. Yeah. All right, so then that's us. Think about all the things that you need, particularly toiletries if you need any meds. Then you get to the dogs. Don't forget bowls. Don't forget toys and chews. I brought you know, one of Phoenix's favorite toys is it's an avocado toy. I called her Azacado. She started squeaking her Azacado in the hotel room. She was having a blast. That was fun. I bring meds for my dogs. I bring Flagyl and I bring Hydroxyzine, which is a little bit better than Benadryl. These are from a veterinarian.
You do have to talk to your veterinarian.
You do have to talk to your veterinarian.
But Correct. Worst case scenario, you can always grab some Benadryl.
Right. So I have these on hand because Michelle, who has one of my dogs, knows that they can get bit by a spider unbeknownst to you or some bug and then blow up like it's their job. So I have those on hand.
Oh, puffy face.
They're puffy face. I also have their rabies certificates and I laminate them so they don't get wet in a rainstorm or fall out of the car and get ruined. I can shove them in bags and they're basically covered in plastic.
Yeah, because, you know, there are some states that I have found just reading through trial premiums and stuff that if you're traveling over state borders, can require Rhode to show Island. Proof of rabies vaccinations. Yeah.
Rhode Island is very much like that.
So at the very least, I would say if you can't get all of their vaccination, their current vaccination records, at the very least, have that rabies certificate available. Because the last thing you need is for something to happen and not have that available. Mm-hmm. That ends up in a lot of issues.
And then here's something I did not do enough prep on and take seriously enough, but also the weather ended up hindering it. I think it's important, especially if you have high maintenance energy dogs like we do, to find places to let them run if you are accustomed to letting your dogs run. We had some good suggestions from people, but some due to the heat, the blue algae was sketchy with the water. And then others, they're like, the water's great, but you have to hike in a little bit. I couldn't even imagine in this heat my dogs hiking in to get to the water. I have no problem. My dogs are not water dogs, but I want them near water. If one of them overheats, I can at least dunk them, right? This was too far. You know, it just didn't work out for us. We found one field, but then Michelle found a foxtail on her bed and never going back to that field again. So I think that's...
Yeah, I would say with I failed. All the prep we did... I would say this is where we felt the least prepared.
Correct. And I was also relying on another friend coming, but she couldn't because of family issues. But our friend Kathy is like, she scored in Maine. Like, scored in Maine, finding this place that's like right down the road. You walk 2 feet, you're at the river. It was perfect. So I know she had known of some places to go. And we just, I think the heat. And then we felt badly because we told some other friends we were going to go swimming. And they were RV bound, so we were like coming up with all these ways that we were going to squeeze all their border collies into our cars. And then we bailed on them because it was just too hot. So I didn't want to be out in it. It was gross. So yeah. I would recommend doing more prep. Check with people. Find dog-friendly places. Remember, safety is important. Know the water supply. You're better off with moving water in a river during summer than you are a stagnant pond. Lakes are a little bit better because they're bigger.
Yeah, don't mess around when it comes to, I think it's any temperatures that sustain over like mid 70s to 80s is when you really have to start worrying about the blue green algae in ponds and stuff. The one thing I learned about the blue green algae, because I have dogs that swim, I have dogs that love to swim and I'm always looking for swimming holes for them. Don't just assume that because the water is clear, the algae is not there. That's the biggest thing that I have learned about this.
Right. And you can check on local sites, local parks. And if it's not safe for humans, don't put your dogs in it. Just don't.
It's not worth the risk.
It's not worth the risk. If somebody has deemed it unsafe for a human to swim, assume it's unsafe for dogs. And I know dogs lick like Lepto water and just disgusting mud puddles. Because they're dogs, but that doesn't mean we need to subject them to that. Because they're going to be hot. They're going to drink it. My dogs, even though they don't swim, they're going to drink it. So,
I mean, and think about it this way, too, is we didn't realize that foxtails are grass ons, because I've learned enough now about foxtails once I saw one on my bed that I didn't think that they were in the New England area, which is where we are. And
but
it
we
turns
weren't
out,
in New England. We were in Pennsylvania.
Right. Well, that's true. We were in Pennsylvania. And I just didn't think about it. It's not something that I think about. And then I read up on it, and any kind of grass on can have the same effect that a foxtail can. It still has that same shape. It still migrates the same way. And if your dog inhales it through their nose or if they get stuck between their paw pads, it can cause a lot of issues. It costs a lot of money. So, you know, it just, we didn't, you know, we didn't think about this, but
yeah, the blue-green algae from is another one. Blue-green algae is something to watch out for. And really, honestly, stay away from tall, grassy fields. I know we see those videos of those dogs bunny hopping through those fields, but if it's the wrong grass, you're going to have big problems.
Yep. So. And the last thing you want is to be away from home and not know anything about where veterinary care is.
Or that's the worst. Or you just are away from home and then you get home and realize what happened, because it can take several days for these to surface. So, yeah. And that's the other thing to look in your premium. They always have to post, any AKC shows at least, have to post the nearest veterinary hospital. I always take a little glance at that. I know we can Google it, but sometimes there'll be one that the club recommends. I know for when I'm the trial chair for one of my shows, we're recommended one over the other. There's two close by. So it's always good to go by a recommendation rather than just Google.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's one place I'd say that we were ill-prepared. Not ill-prepared. We weren't prepared, and the weather just squashed that. And my dogs and my arms suffered for it.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, I have the complete opposite where Sirius is lovely and...
Well, he was also running 6 runs a day.
He was running 6 runs a day.
He had your undivided attention.
In general... He is the laziest dog we have, next to Finn. If I had the puppy with me, I would have probably spent more time looking for things to do. But, I mean, I have 6 dogs. For me, traveling with one dog, this is a vacation for me. Yeah. I know it's quite the opposite for you, but this is a vacation for me.
I will probably not travel with all 3 alone again. It wasn't horrible. And my time management was very good. I had to have good time management. But it was stressful because I didn't like walking all 3 at once because, for example, in a hotel, if they see another dog, whether it's an agility friend or not, they can get reactive. And when I have a 63-pound, 52-pound, and 48-pound boxer, do the math, pulling on the leash, I can't do anything. I actually had to tell a friend, and we ran into the parking lot. My dogs were like, "Who are you?" I was like, "You know this dog." And I was like, "Back up, back up." Like, I had to tell my friend to back up, and she didn't understand because she sees my dogs in agility. They're very contextual. And in agility, they're calmest, perfect. Like, come up to us. See us at a hotel? Please walk far away. Give me space. They're not in hotels enough for that to have been generalized for them. And so I'm better off just taking 2. 2 was manageable. 1 is lovely. But then I always felt guilty. Oh, is it Beans? Or is he just curling up on her pillow? Is he curling up?
Oh, she's a little bean, little ball of beans.
Little ball of beans. It looks so cute. So anyways, sorry. In walk a dog. We're so... So anyways, my point is I can travel with 3. And I know I have friends that have 4. I think 4 would almost have been not easier, but more balanced, because I would have left 2 in and 2 out.
Yeah.
When I left 1 behind, I felt so guilty. But because I'm the dog trainer in me, I played food scatters, and I'd pile their toys together, and I'd bury treats underneath there, and then I'd send them away while I took the other 2 out. And only once did I come back to Debbie, like, making a Chewbacca sound, but I think that was around dinner time. All other times, whoever I left seemed to do well. But you have to think about those things, right? You know,
right.
It's just,
well, that's why we're doing it. It's just, I mean, we've experienced it. These are different things that you may not have thought of.
Right. And we have experienced it. You know, going out to dinner, there's on TikTok, one of the biggest things that triggers pet people are these devices. I don't have one, but I should get one. I don't know why I don't have one, called vent locks, where they're essentially a,
oh yeah.
Yeah. They're just an extension. It's this,
it's like a bar.
It's a bar. It's like the safe stick we used to use to prevent people from stealing your car. And it extends the, instead of your hatch, so if you have a minivan, instead of the back hatch locking all the way down, it allows it to lock to this bar that allows enough airflow for air to get in, but not a human to fit in. But people are always like, an arm could get in. They'll let your dogs out. They make all these things up. And because... not to knock on pet people, but some pet people were beaten to their head, which I love. Don't travel with your dogs on hot days. Don't bring them in the car. Great. I love that you're thinking that way. But these vent locks allow us dog sports fanatics to travel safely and provide adequate airflow, crosswinds for our dogs. So I recommend those. You can go out to dinner. You can lock your car. I've gone out to dinner. I left my car running. We get patio seating. There's a lot of things that you can do safely with your dogs. You know, I have, through the recommendation of Whitney, I have the Govee thermometer.
Yep, I have one too.
It was like $20. And if you're close enough to your car, it sets off an alert. You can set it to alert you if it drops below 70 or above 70 degrees. Goes above 72 degrees. And it's great because it'll send me an alert and I can look over and see if it's an issue. So, yeah. And there's fancier, please. There's way fancier, Nimble and all kinds of RV accoutrement that you can put in your car in the crate that will, like, sound off alarm bells if it gets above a certain temperature.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of things you can do for safety, but I think kind of diving further into that, think about the what ifs. This is where I think we don't think hard enough about, and I failed myself this trip, but I got lucky. I keep meaning to sign up for AAA. When I travel with my friend Sarah, she has AAA premium. I'm covered, even passenger or even drivers of, you know, if you're a passenger, it covers you. I don't have AAA. Don't ask. I don't know why. I'm literally staring at the application form. I could do it online. I know. It's easy. Yeah.
I mean, I literally only signed up for it like maybe a year or two ago.
Right. But what do you do?
I mean, I will say redesigning my car setup. And then also I left a trial local, luckily. But I left a trial about a month and a half ago or so. And as I was leaving, my tire started to go flat.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that I actually do have a flat. I have a donut in my van. I have a spare tire.
Yes, you can't get to it.
But I can't get to it because it's underneath all of my crates, which are ratcheted down to the floor.
Right. So I went a step up and I do not need a spare. I have run flats and I have gotten a flat and you can literally drive on them. It is weird. You can't do more than like 40 miles an hour and you can't go more than 50 miles distance. So you have to have a dealership or tire place close by. And that might not always be the case if you're out in Timbuktu. But I do have that and I am not a warranty person, but I did pay for the tire warranty on my car. And we've done that for our commercial vehicles and it has paid off. So think about things like that. But here's the other thing. You can have AAA all you want. But the tow truck driver shows up and he's like, no dogs in my truck.
Yep.
What do you do?
Yeah.
You know, I also am an Enterprise member. They'll come and pick you up. Hey, Enterprise, cargo van, come pick me up. Right? Like these are, you have to have that at the very least in the back of your mind. If you're out on the road, do you have a friend, a partner, a significant other home that you could call and be like, hey, can you Google where I am? Can you locate me? And find what's nearby because I don't have service, right? There's lots of crazy things that can happen. So always think about the what ifs. And then always think about, as sports dog enthusiasts, we tend to not have tags on our dogs. I can't stand them. I 1,000% support them. They're valuable. I'm sure in this podcast earlier, you heard a dog shake in my house that had tags on. That's a boarding dog. Boarding dogs always have their tags on in my house. But I can't stand them on my own dogs. I have them on their crates. Michelle has emergency information connected to all of her crates. Vaccine information. This is important. If you're in a car accident and you become comatose, who are they going to call? If someone's going to be kind enough to remove your dogs from the crates, let them know your dog's name so that your dog freaks out a little bit less.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I have, like Kara said, I have vaccination information. I have emergency contact information. I have pretty much anything you need to know about my dog on their crate. And then, I mean, and in the case of Sirius, he's an extreme case, I think. But I blast all over his information, like, do not vaccinate, requires medication, because he does have a condition that he should not be vaccinated. And, like, I just throw all of that information on there, and especially that emergency contact. And I actually have two. Emergency contact.
Yeah, because what if you are with your husband, who is your emergency contact?
Yeah. And I mean, I just have all that information there. Tags. You really have to think about this kind of stuff when you're out traveling with your dogs.
You have to. Anything could happen. I mean, our friend Linda, her husband was driving from New Hampshire to New Mexico. Sorry. I think it was New Mexico or Arizona, something like that.
It was New Mexico.
Yeah, and he flipped over in Ohio. And luckily he was okay, but, you know, now you've got to find a truck that can travel with the dogs. Now he's stranded in a hotel because his truck was totaled. He was too far for Linda to go get him. It was a mess. So he ended up renting a car and driving the whole way.
Yeah, I mean, we don't mean to sound morbid about it all. No, not at all. But you have to think about the worst case scenario, or at least what can you do to make a bad situation a little bit easier on somebody or on your dogs? Like, how can you reduce that stress just a little bit?
Right. And even tell people that you're traveling. I know people are like, oh, then they'll go break into your house. I've heard that argument. Look, my husband and I rarely travel together anymore. It's sad, but he's home. I'm not worried about the safety of my house. Everything valuable minus my husband is with me. So yeah. I have my three dogs. I love my van. Like, you know, what am I going to do? So it's really important to just have that forethought about the what ifs, because you'll be better prepared. And then also, you know, I'm just going to plug this right now. I plug this all day long. I don't talk about it a lot on the podcast, but take a pet first aid and CPR course. ProPetHero.com. It's really cheap. A lot of stuff as pet owners and sport enthusiasts, you'll know. A lot of stuff you won't. Have a pet first aid kit. I have one underneath my seat. I have another one in my door. They carry both animal-related things and human. I've got Band-Aids in there. I also have gauze pads. Like, I have hydrogen peroxide, which I change out frequently because as it gets too hot, it just turns to water. I have it in a light block bottle. I have a brush in case I think I found a foxtail. I have tweezers. I have everything you can name in that first aid kit. I have more antihistamines. So really think about the what ifs. The more prepared, I'd rather you be prepared and not have to use it than something happen and you're not prepared.
Yeah. And then stay tuned on our revamp episode of car setups and how to store them.
Yes.
So they don't take up that much extra space in your car.
Right. So let's talk. Michelle, your TNC crates came in.
They did.
Hold on. Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Hey, Agility Addicts. We have a new sponsor we're excited to tell you about. TNC Crates. If you go to tnccrates.com/discount/startline, you can take advantage of a 5% discount on their amazing products. They have the strongest door with a 1/4-inch plate. They have thicker materials than any of their competitors, and they're fully customizable with your choice of venting, color, and door placement. All of this made in the U.S. Definitely check them out. We did our whole episode on how we have our crate setups. Michelle and I are looking into these companies and ordering from them. It's totally amazing, the protection that they provide our dogs. We travel all over the U.S. going to these trials. Keeping our pets safe is the most important. And TNC Crates does that. TNCCrates.com/discount/startline. And we're back. All right, so we heard from our TNC sponsors, and Michelle has her TNC crates in. Let's hear all about them.
Yeah, first-hand account about TNC. So mm-hmm. I actually heard about TNC from some friends of ours at a local trial, had some in her crate. I went and checked them out. I did a bunch of research, and there are plenty of different brands out there that you can choose from. TNC just happened to be the one that fits my needs best, and I needed a custom size. I needed something that was going to give me the ability
to get six dogs in your Honda Odyssey.
Fit six dogs in my van when I currently only had enough space for five. Plus, I needed to be able to travel with my trial gear, so soft crates, my chair, my mats. All the stuff that I didn't feel like lugging back and forth every single weekend from my garage and into my van. So I had a lot of specifics that I needed to fill. And I have to say, TNC, their customer service was amazing. They arrived actually just before Westminster. So just the beginning of June, we installed them. They're light enough that the double unit, me and my husband, could lift easily into the van. The single unit can be lifted by, I could lift it by myself. So they're light, nice and light. They don't rattle, so yay. because I had only wire crates before, and all they did was rattle, even with yoga matting stuck in between the bars. Mine which rattle. I got that suggestion from Kara.
Yeah, but let me tell you, you know what else works in between the bars? They still rattle. I'm looking forward to getting rid of mine. If you and when you go to Starbucks and you get the sleeves, the cardboard sleeves.
Oh.
Jam some of those babies in between the squeaky spots because, I mean, my crates are looking sexy right now. They've got all kinds of cardboard bits sticking out of them. But, hey, my ride is slightly quieter.
Slightly.
Not
yours does sound better.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now I have the ability, because of my TNC crates, to fit 6 dogs in my car. Plus, they built me a custom dunnage rack for the wire crates that I do still have in my car. I can now fit 6 dogs. I have 3 soft crates, 2 mats, and a chair, and a tent underneath that dunnage rack with space to spare. Plus all my trial gear. I have my hiking backpack with my emergency first aid kit in there. I have my dogs, all of their harnesses for every occasion, nose work, agility, walking, emergency leashes. I have all of that. My shade cloths. I have everything stored in there. And my TNC crates have 1 key to lock all doors.
Oh, that's convenient.
Which is nice because before I actually had padlocks on all of the crates and I couldn't find, well, at the time I just kept getting dogs, but I had 3 sets of locks, so I had 3 different sets of keys, and they were all the same type of lock, so I had to mark up the keys to match the certain locks.
I have a solution for that. It's not as good as a TNC crate, but I simply just use combo locks, and I make the combination all the same.
Yeah,
because you can change. Yeah. So, and I told people at Westminster what mine was in case something happened to me, so they could get my dogs out.
Yeah. And let's see what else. Definitely need to do a video of the TNC crates and the new
setup. Yes, I know we promised at Westminster.
I did take progression pictures.
We got excited because Westminster and Michelle made the finals. So the crate, that and Peter came by, supposedly. They were at the gate. And so we just lost track of time and we didn't really want to be messing around with our dogs. I actually used my locks to lock Debbie into the crate, but then I heard they come by and feed them. It was just awful. So then I crated her under the tent. Whatever. Nothing happened and came of it because security and AKC kept us safe. But, again, not an incident you could prepare for. I happen to have those locks because if I want to go out to dinner and leave my hatch open, I don't care if they steal my leashes and whatever they can access from the back. They can't get into the car, but there's some stuff they could take. I just don't want them taking my dog, right? So I locked my most valuable possession up. But keep in mind, if you lock it up and you have a heart attack at dinner, who's going to get your dog out for you, you know?
Yeah.
So tell them where the key is. Tell them what the code is. Somebody needs to know that.
Yeah. But yeah, so I did take progression pictures of how I set up my crates. And I do need to, I've got to figure out how to make that into like a post so you can see it. Definitely need to take videos. I love my TNC crates. Oh, and you can make them any sort of fun color that you want.
Yeah, you have the purple and green.
I opted for, it's a gray hammer tone color, and I have purple doors for my double unit, and I have lime green doors for my single unit. I was thinking about doing purple crates with lime green doors, but I decided to tone it down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, you know, think about, so we will have a revamp, I think, of our car setups and cooling and keeping yourselves cool.
I was hoping
cool
to do it
cool
at another outdoor trial, but really all we have, which I possibly can't make, is the Pioneer Valley in September because I'll have Boxer Nationals.
Yeah, we don't have very many outdoor trials.
We don't, and thanks to COVID sort of being over-ish, I know it's still there. The pandemic! That's kind of over. We're not outside as much.
Yeah.
But it's still just as important. Again, if you're going to go out to dinner, if you're simply going to go check into the hotel and you want to turn your car off, you need to leave your dog safe and cool.
Yep.
So we do need to revamp that. We still need to do our regionals. We know. We got yelled at kindly by several people when we traveled. It was lovely to see some of our listeners.
Thank you
for
checking
in. That was really cool. But some of you guys were like, when's your next episode? We're traveling. I know. We mean to do more, but I have like 5 jobs. Michelle just got promoted at hers. So it's all good stuff, but this is a labor of love. We don't make a dime for it. We'd love to somehow monetize it, but we're not there yet. Speaking of monetizing,
we'll have merch one day.
Yes. Yes, we will have merchandise. But speaking of monetizing, this has nothing to do with money because we are doing this out of the, I don't want to say kindness, but just out of the you should do this or your silliness. Especially if you're in New England, but if you're in New Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland's, whatever, if you want to come from that far, New York, Vermont, Maine, you've got to go to the Thanksgiving cluster.
Oh, yes.
It is on this year. It was canceled last year. There was some hemming and hawing about doing it because it is a tremendous amount of work. You have no idea what these clubs do to bring it on. Did you know that they hire a landscaper to haul in 4 rings worth of dirt?
That blew my mind because right? I thought for it years was
we thought
on
the
site.
Big E just had it on site and they just shoveled it in. That naive us. That's how we thought it happened. Because you see little pieces of straw and you're like, that must be from the horses and the elephants they have. Nope. That's straight up loam from a landscaping company. So, it is the biggest show on dirt. It is the best show on dirt.
4 rings.
4 rings. Unbelievable.
All the vendors
shopping.
That you can imagine.
We're getting amazing vendors this year. Trying to get a sponsor. So, anyone out there listening, if you are a large-ish related company, doesn't even have to be pets. If you're Tractor Supply, your Home Depot, I mean Ryobi, hello, KT Tape, Hoka, come on, Champion, all the stuff that we wear and swear by, all these beers that we drink, come on, sponsor us. You already have lifelong fans. Like, if Ryobi showed up, people would just buy more fans because they're like, oh, I should just get more. They wouldn't even care. Like, they wouldn't even care, Ryobi. They buy another battery. Like, just show up. But seriously, it is November 26th to the 29th. That's a Friday to Monday. It is the day after Thanksgiving. That is when you need to burn off all those calories that you just consumed. You need to enter. You need to have fun. And guess what we're going to have this year?
What?
I was listening to one of our older episodes when we were talking about entering trials. And we ever so often, we whisper, online entries. Guess what we have now?
Online entries.
Online entries. Thank you, Paw Print Premium. Paw Print Trials brings us online entries, which, P.S., tomorrow 2 shows open, 1 at 10 and 1 at 2. I've got my alarm set. They've been filling. So, anyways, this is a save the date reminder for the cluster. You got to go. It's going to be so much fun. Michelle and I will be there. We have 5 months to plan something fun that we're going to do. There's talk about a mini national, not etched in stone yet, but there's talk about doing some kind of fun competition. So there's there's going to be team competition. We've got some great marketers.
We've done the turkey trifecta in the past.
Yep. I don't think we're going to do that again this year, but we're going to do something equally as cool. It would be stellar if we could get a sponsor, which would make it like super cool. Like Yukonuba, the Sea of Pink, like they do at Invitationals, would be fabulous. Tractor Supply, hello. How much of us buy stuff there? I don't know if Jeff Bezos is listening, but no, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be amazing? Can we just borrow $100,000? Thanks. That'd be like a dollar to him. Not even. Is that like 1 cent to him? Yeah. Anyways, we just, you know, we really wanted to talk about traveling. We have other plans. They haven't fallen by the wayside. We are organized people, but we get so compelled to talk about this because we live through these experiences and want to share them with you. And traveling is important. Traveling is fun. Traveling should be done safely and you can have a really great time.
Look for local food places nearby.
Yes!
Because we
found the food! Yes!
How do we forget to
the food? I don't know! Good remembering. All right, you go ahead, Michelle, and then I'll dive into my food.
Oh, man. Just a mile down the road. Let's just start there. A mile down the road from the La Quinta in Pennsylvania was this like random little ice cream place on the corner of a road.
It looked like 1984.
Legit. It was called Happy Cones.
And C-O-N-E-Z. They had
with a Z. They had these things called rolls. And we were intrigued. So Kara had actually driven by here before.
For a year. Not for a year. But I went to this I went to two trials or three trials at Bella Vista. And because the grocery store is on the way, because it was COVID and I was the only grocery store shopping and I was only eating in the hotel. We ate out a couple times, but you know. And I drove by this all the time and I never went.
So we went finally.
Ooh.
And these rolls.
Ooh.
Are cream mixed in with whatever toppings or whatever you want mixed in with this. They lay it out on a cold plate. And then they, once it's cold enough, they roll it up with like a scraper.
A spatula.
Spatula.
It is like a scraper. It legit looks like what you would patch your walls with. Which yeah. It probably is, but it's sanitary. They kept the plates clean.
Yeah.
We watched them wipe down and sanitize the whole place.
And then they just topped it off. Amazing.
And we're thinking it might be less calories than real ice cream. Because real ice cream, it's the same size cup that they'd put like a sundae in. But they would put like two heavy scoops. These rolls are filled with air, right? So they're flat. That plate wasn't that big.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't help that they put like half a little Debbie snack cake oatmeal raisin cookie there. And it didn't help that they put that
Butterscotch crumpet
on it. And it didn't help that they put your Nutella cheesecake, strawberry shortcake. But.
It definitely felt lighter.
It felt lighter.
I'm just going to tell myself that.
We felt better eating it.
Eating these rolls.
It was so good.
We went back twice.
So that was Bella Vista. But what did they have as a food vendor, not even a mile or a minute outside the door, in this 90 freaking bajillion degrees heat? This lovely gentleman serving Caribbean food. And I turn to Michelle and I see a breakfast item. Now, I'd gone to Starbucks like I always do. I'm a Starbucks. It's just easy. It's predictable, right? Don't have to worry about it. And P.S., shout out to the Louis St. Mount Laurel?
Yeah, Mount Laurel.
Mount Laurel, New Jersey Starbucks next to the Lukoil. The barista, normally I roll down my window, my dogs go nuts. I roll down my window. This gentleman very calmly says, "Oh, do you raise boxers?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." And then I roll down my back window to reveal Walter, who usually loses his shit. And he's sitting in his crate and the guy goes, "Good morning, Walter." And Walter's just like, "Hey, buddy." And I was like, "Oh, okay." Because I don't like it when my dogs erupt. I like it when they erupt when some sketchy dude comes towards my car. But I don't like to be the scary boxer car, right? I just don't. So that was pleasant. So anyways, I normally get my Starbucks, but I roll up. And then I'm like, "Michelle." Because Michelle is from New Jersey.
Yep.
And it says, what was it? Pork roll sandwich?
Pork roll sandwich.
And to me, I didn't know what pork roll was. And so Michelle says it's like, you said it was like ham.
Yeah, all right. So it depends on where you're from in New Jersey. If you're from northern Jersey, because it's, all right, and it also depends on if you're from Jersey, central Jersey doesn't always exist. So if you're from northern Jersey, it's considered Taylor ham. If you're from southern Jersey, it's considered pork roll. They're pretty much the same thing.
Okay, Taylor ham is misleading. I was thinking of like a processed Sunday ham. Sometimes you can get the Canadian bacon, which is really just a roll of ham. This was so much better than ham. It was pork with these seasonings, but the seasoning was like very mild spice with some pepper. I don't know what the hell was in this thing, but it was unbelievable. And it comes in just like a hamburger roll.
A bulky
with cheese sauce, and you gotta get the eggs because he put the same seasoning or something similar in the eggs. And he kept asking me, "You want cheese?" And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You want eggs?" I said, "Yeah, I'm getting put whatever you put on those things." Oh my God, Starbucks was put to shame. I did not go to Starbucks the next day. No, I got that. It was delicious. So, if you're in Jersey, get a pork roll. Right? And if you are
pork
in
pork roll or Taylor ham sandwich,
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, near it, actually New Cumberland, you're going to get yourself a rolls.
A Happy Cones.
Okay? It's right by the airport. In, I believe, New Cumberland. I have no idea what town we were in. It was near there.
A think it was New Cumberland.
Yeah, well, it's like a mile from the La Quinta. Yeah. It was very close.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun traveling through food.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
You actually said it to me best a while ago, that you don't have the means to travel the world right now, so you travel the world through food.
Mm-hmm.
And I have adopted that. Wherever I go, I try to travel through food.
Yeah. My husband and I went to Moldova the other night. It is a country near Russia. And we had Moldovan food, and it was amazing. So, yes, because we own a dog walking and pet sitting business, traveling is not an option. So, one of us can get away, but we can't both get away, although we've gone to Japan and Ireland. So, we're not complaining that much. But, yeah. So, try the local cuisine. Listen to the locals and ask them where the good place to eat. You know, when you come to New Hampshire, they're going to tell you to go to Black Forest Cafe. Yep. You know, you can't go wrong there. I wouldn't say there's anything like New Hampshire-y, but it's a damn good bakery.
And if you go up to New Gloucester, Maine, Red's Eats is not very far from there.
Right, right, right. So, yeah, I just, food.
Yeah, look for the local food.
The heat was disappointing. The food was not. The hotels were both okay. They were both clean. You know, the La Quinta had some partying going on. I don't think they could control it. I think too many people were like, yay, COVID's over, and just had a party.
But even that, it wasn't like...
No, they settled down by like 10.
Yeah,
no,
it wasn't bad.
No. So, yeah, we encourage you to travel. We want to know where you go. And also, tell me what you hear. I heard some wiggles. I heard some get your bottoms. I didn't hear very much other different stuff. And things I also look for, like out in Ohio, they say worker herder, and they don't have an assistant scribe. They call it something else. But Jersey was pretty on par with New England.
Yeah.
Same with, Bella Vista was pretty on par. Also, look at how clubs run things. You know, Bella Vista runs like a well-oiled machine. They have more of a staff than they do clubs. And Premier, I thought, ran pretty well. I got there dead early. I was like 2 or 3 classes in, and I just went and helped and worked. And they were so appreciative. Oh, and I won a $10 Dunks card. And our friend Christine, who worked a bunch of gates, she got like $30 in Panera.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and they get to know people.
Running every single class.
Yeah, I love gating. I don't recommend it for inexperienced people because you kind of have to like look for the dogs, and you can't help not knowing the dogs. So people that are traveling, I don't really recommend gating, but I love that. As I say that, I'm going to contradict myself. I love gating because I get to know everybody's names. I saw all these faces that I knew. Like this woman with these amazing poomies. Her name is Ronnie. I now know her.
And my new bestie, Sir.
Right, Sir. That was a wonderful border collie. And she also ran that lovely rat terrier. She had it was just fun to see these amazing... We see the same handlers. And so, not that we don't appreciate them. They're fantastic. But it's fun to go different places and appreciate either what you have at home. I've gone places where I'm like, wow, everybody at home is way better.
Or, and I do have to say, I felt 100% welcome and included.
Yes. We even had an
locations that
we had an agility mom. So she welcomed us. She told us, every detail about the facility, what door you go in, how to flush the toilets because they have low pressure. Legit everything. Yeah. Everything. She told me they're on well water in case my dogs are sensitive to water. Everything. So, but what's funny is I think we might have played ourselves down too much where we're like, we're new here. So we were treated a little bit like newbies. And then they were like, they saw us run and they're like, wait a minute. And then they're like, wait, that's the toller that ran second in Westminster or ran at finals in Westminster. Yes. Yes, it is.
Oh, and... how could I forget to mention this? Sirius got his pock while we were in New Jersey. So we got new ribbons.
Right. Ribbons we don't have
in
the area.
And it was a whole celebration in an area that we were not familiar with. So it was a different crowd. And people still cheered. Like I said, we felt so welcomed and so included there.
And here's a regional thing for you. Up here, it is not uncommon for some facilities to give a ribbon in addition to the club ribbon. Yeah. Down there, the trial secretary gave a ribbon in addition to the club ribbon.
Yeah.
Fancy.
It was very fancy. And there were options on colors.
Right. And tabs. And yeah, it was fascinating.
It was pretty sweet. And I finally got my embroidered vest.
Oh, I never saw it. Did you wear it there? No, because it was 800 degrees.
Yeah, it was a little hot. I got one of them. The other one she's mailing to me.
Okay. This woman is not a sponsor but needs a shout out. Anybody in the Jersey, PA area, Whiskas and Paws, Alice, phenomenal.
Oh, man.
Not only does she have good products, but her embroidery is phenomenal. She does like an art deco, and she can do it in different colors. She can do solid silver. She can do bling, no bling.
And coming from somebody who has a off rare breed.
Yeah, she nailed it with her toller.
She's got every breed.
Yeah. She, honestly, maybe I'll talk to her about coming to the cluster. She's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
And she's easy to work with. She made a mistake on one of my orders. It was minor. She didn't put the bling that I had asked for, so I sent it back. She put the bling on, and then she sent me a free cooler with Debbie embroidered on it. Like, what? Aww. What? I mean, people make mistakes. Who can read your handwriting? That was at another hot trial. I couldn't pay attention at a hot trial. So, yeah, Whiskas and Paws, but it's Whiskas and Paws. It's spelled a little bit differently. Again,
they like disease.
Yeah, they like disease. But I cannot recommend her enough. The quality of her embroidery is phenomenal. And it's great because you come up to New England and everyone's like, I love your vest. You go down there and everybody's got the same thing. I mean, it's all a little bit different. She can also do custom. It's going to cost a little bit more, but it's worth it. And
yes, she did a logo for, I think, a local club to that area that she was showing off.
Yeah.
That she embroidered their logo and everything on all of their stuff. So she does
great. And if you work, you get $4 each class. To go towards the vendors. Oh. Right? I mean, yep. I use mine on my food. I worked equivalent of 12, so three. I got $12 worth. And here's what I did. This was smart. I'm going to call myself out on this. It was too early. I had already had lunch, or I didn't want to have lunch. It was too hot. But I knew I was going to be starving for dinner. So we left the trial at like 3, 4 o'clock. I ordered a big-ass pork meal with plantains and all that stuff. And I took it back to the hotel, and I sat in my bed, and I ate that shit at like 5 o'clock, and I was in bed by like 8:30. It was perfect. And it cost me $3 because it was $12 working. I did tip him, so it was a little bit more than that. But heck yeah.
Yep.
That was worth every penny of working and getting that food. I will work for food. I will work for great food. So anyways, moral of the story is get out of your comfort zone. Check out a new place, support other clubs, go on the AKC event search site, pick a state you've never been to, you want to go to, or is close by and convenient. Go. Just go.
Just do it.
You know, we'll try and post our schedule if we travel again. Heads up, I will do the Bella Vista trial every single year. It's a point getter. They had amazing judges. They had Sandy Moody and Zach Davis. No brainer, right?
Right.
Amazing courses this week. It was just fucking lovely.
It was so much fun. I mean, the drive home and
the drive home like was awful.
6 or 7 hours. The drive to New Jersey was pretty awful.
Awful.
But you know what? It was some of the best times I've had doing agility, just traveling. Because we did see some friends that were also point chasers. Mm-hmm. I think we just need a whole army of shirts for the end
That's
of June.
That's a good idea.
The point chasers.
Or south, we're following the storm of points.
Something. We need something catchy. But
it was
nice. We really got to bond with some local people. We got to meet some others, some new faces. I got to see some old faces from when I go down to Jersey. I don't get to go down there very often, so I saw some old faces.
We also got
that
to see Whitney, who moved from our area down there.
So it was great. We got to try a lot of good food.
We got to try new start routines.
Yep.
Ripping ticks off of Walter's balls.
Poor Walter.
Yep, you heard that right. Michelle stepped up, and I panicked. So our friend Whitney is a veterinarian, and I do not like to call them veterinarians at agility trials. They are on their free time. But I felt something on his balls, and I was like, Whitney, what is this? Before she could even bend down to look, I had ascertained it was a tick, and I ripped it off. Well, unbeknownst to me, I just learned this recently. Ticks not only have these barbed mouth pieces that go in to keep them in, but they inject, for lack of a better word, a cement, a substance that keeps them glued into you under your skin. So when you pull that tick out, I got the head knob, but I also ripped out the cement and a good chunk of his scrotal sac. So the poor boy, which is a very vascular area, he was bleeding. And so I'm holding his balls. I've got blood on my hands.
You're about to go in the ring.
I'm like three dogs in. Whitney is taking pictures. Michelle does me a solid and goes and gets me paper towels to apply pressure to his balls and hand wipes to clean up the blood. We go in. Now, he had been stressing for the rest of the beginning of the weekend. He was not stressy at all. We did have a weave pole issue because the wide white out of bounds on this turf with the rounded cones and the wires coming out of the wall. They were not anything bothersome. They were just like old wires hanging out of a wall. Not dangerous. Malter's brain could not handle. So the run was destroyed at the weave poles, but otherwise one of his better starts and better runs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a fun little story.
Great 5 days of traveling.
It was a great...
I mean, really, it was a great month of traveling.
It was a great month of traveling. Maine was amazing. They have this market. And when I say market...
Oh, my God.
It's essentially a Whole Foods on steroids.
It's like a whole town. Did you know you can rent bikes?
No.
To ride around that area?
What?
You could literally rent bikes. And they have disc golf?
You go to this place and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. Literally the middle of nowhere. You roll down this hill to, it looks like, for lack of a better word, a college. Honestly, it just looks like a college.
Yeah, it really does, yeah.
The market is obscure. It's not well pointed out, right? It's like on a second floor of this brick building.
Oh, yeah, it's like completely hidden.
And then you walk, because it's not like Whole Foods. It doesn't say like, you know, Piggly Wiggly. It's not big. And then you walk in and you're like,
Well, all right, let's just start with the fact that first you're walking past a beer stand.
Yeah, you have to drive past the beer stand to get into the market.
And then you go into the market. And they have, you know, souvenirs. They have
fresh picked strawberries that have an aromatic scent. You're like, oh my God. I'm not a big fan of strawberries. And I was like, those things smell good.
Chocolate macaroon.
Yeah, you got that.
Hi.
They have a gift. Like if you went there and you're like, shit, I should bring my friend home something from Maine. They have a whole, and it's not cheesy. They have like actual cool things from Maine. That market. Oh my God, the sandwiches, the meats, the cheese. The cheese they make there was cheap. It was cheap. My friend Lazinski was like, it was like $10 for like a 20-pound brick of cheddar. I'm not kidding.
I was just stuck at the dessert counter. Apparently, I missed that.
We had so much fun. And then, of course, we got Gifford's ice cream. I mean.
It was great.
It was great. So
travel. Take all our tips into consideration. Travel. Go out of your comfort zone.
Contact us if you have any questions. If you want to come up here, we can tell you where to stay. We can tell you what to do. We can tell you where it's good to go.
We can tell you
what to avoid. You know, there's a show coming up in Rhode Island that's probably full. There's a bunch at American Canine Country. There's
Labor Day weekends. What's opening tomorrow? I don't think this is going to go out for tomorrow, but still.
No, it's not going out for tomorrow. Let's see. August. Yeah, Labor Day weekend. If it's still open, highly recommend going to that. That is a good judge.
I mean, the cluster. The cluster is a great one to start with.
You really got to go to the cluster.
To New England.
Oh, because guess what's out in Springfield, I think?
What?
Red Juicy Seafood. That same chain restaurant that we went to at Premier Cup. So I will be going to that one of those nights.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So start looking at hotels around Springfield, Mass. Now. Check the old premium for lists. Make sure you call and look at the recommendations because the premium won't be out for a bit. But look at that. If you're into gambling and you got some money, the MGM is right across the river. You can stay there. It's a cool area. It's got everything that you possibly need, but pretty much you get on site and you don't need anything else. They serve beer there. You have decent food. It's not anything to write home about, but it gets you through the week. I mean, you're already fat from Thanksgiving, so you'll be eating leftovers the next few days. So that's what I do. Especially if your husband cooks. He cooks for an army.
Yes.
Yeah. So, all right. We should probably cut this off.
All right,
We could go on forever.
Clearly, this is a hot topic for us.
This is a hot topic that we wanted to talk about because we had so much fun and the people that we traveled and saw made it fun and all the people that were our fans made us feel special because, you know, we're sitting here talking to each other. Yep. So, it's cool that you guys listen to us.
Yes, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for your feedback.
Yes.
The regional stuff is, I think, the most highly requested thing that I've heard about so far. So we are definitely working on that.
We're just
going to
keep you hanging for a long, long time. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We'll keep dragging it up. So yeah, on that note, I think we're good to say goodbye.
All right. Goodbye.
Hey, Agility Addicts. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Michelle and I are going to drop a lot of, hopefully, videos of her crates. We're going to get more information to you. We've got a tracking sheet to hand out to you. We've got so much stuff we want to give to you. We just haven't had the time. So bear with us. We apologize. We're going to get you, I'm going to get you the links to my cooler. I'm going to get you all these products that you can get on Amazon so you can find them. We're going to get this all to you, but please, if you want to help us out by rate, reviewing, and subscribing, we can maybe get some funds for this and maybe find more time. Otherwise, it's just our passion project, and we love agility, and we love our agility addicts. Thanks so much. Please keep listening.